I hope Randy comes in and fixes his camera. He asked for it to be blurry.
Welcome
I
to another
him.
Eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is January the 22nd of the year of our Lord, 2022. Believe it or not, here we go. This month is about to say goodbye to us, and we are here, and it's good to be with you, Christy and Paul. Christy from Mississippi and Paul from New York. We got three separate states. One is real cold, New York. One is mild, Missouri. And one is warm and hot, Mississippi.
No, not this week. We're freezing. It is so cold. It went from 70 degrees high one day to like 38 high the next day.
38? Is freezing to you, Christy?
No. That's the high for the day. The rest, we're under a hard freeze warning now.
Well, that's cold
for Mississippi. And you know that.
New York so you know how cold it is. What is the temperature we at, Paul?
Well, it's about 20.
Okay. Believe it or not, it was 11.
It was -8 when I woke up this morning.
Oh, Paul, yeah. Poor thing. Is your ceiling still leaking?
Hey.
Well, the people did not replace, they did not fix it. They just replaced the ceiling tile. So, yes, it is still leaking.
You mean they fixed the tiles and not the leak?
That's
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Paul,
yeah.
This is a leak. Have you seen the commercial about this big football player, and he's talking about leak, and then the whole ceiling down and the water came down.
It actually happened to me. That when the I touched the ceiling and it fell apart, yeah, when it was leaking.
Oh, my goodness.
I tell you what, if it is not fixed within the next couple of weeks, I'm coming down to help you to fix it. How about that?
Yes, that's a good ministry.
I think the problem is two floors above me, but there's no problem.
We can take care of it. You got no problem. Well, Christy.
Yes.
I know you have so many stuff you want to talk about before we get to our show tonight.
Well, I have some really interesting things, and I posted them on my slideshow for the radio program. I saw an excellent program. You know, every week, you guys, I ask you, please start watching these channels that I mention each time, and I put them in the slideshow for the radio show, but you guys, you never share my slides on the YouTube, but that's okay. Real America's Voice, I love OAN, I love, and also a couple of other things, but you'll see lots of great stuff on Frank's Speech, which has a Lindell TV. But I saw today a program, I wish Usama could have seen it, on Real America's Voice. They have a new program. The woman who does it is called Common Sense, and her name is Anna Perez. She has a lot of knowledge about Islam. She invited Laura Loomer on. They talked about the Quran. They talked about the anti-Semitism, that Islam is anti-Semitic, and there is no way to change that or get around it. As long as you believe in the Quran, as long as you believe in Muhammad, you're going to be an anti-Semite. Exposing Ilhan Omar, exposing Rashida Tlaib and their group. And you know what? I said, there was only one thing wrong. They weren't using Usama's Quran. And I said, we got to get in touch with them because this was an awesome, awesome program.
Hey, I would love to send them my Quran as a gift. Just I need the house to get in touch with them.
Well, she just started her program. It's on Real America's Voice every Saturday. It's just once a week. And her name is Anna Perez, and the program is called Common Sense, similar to Rudy Giuliani's program, Common Sense. But her thing was all about Islam today.
Amen. That's good. I'm glad to use that. And it's... It says, as you were sharing with me, as I was traveling, coming from Mississippi, coming from Tennessee, about all these things that she's talked about, and I thought, maybe she just saw my show, which I did with Sean, with...
Brandon House.
No, not Brandon House.
No?
With Crosstalk.
Oh, Crosstalk, Jim.
Jim Schneider. And because these are the things we cover. As a matter of fact, yeah. What's amazing before that, I talked to Tammy Godwin, and she's doing a radio show, and she was talking with me about some of these things. It's the same things,
yeah.
Which Jim Schneider would like to talk with me about, which we covered in Crosstalk. And it's time for the American people to wake up. It's time for the American people to speak the truth about Islam. It's time for the American people to learn the truth about Islam. As
yeah.
I said with Jim Schneider, the problem we have in America, why Muslims are building mosques all over America, big one. Why Muslims running for office and running and swearing
yeah.
on the Quran, and they're winning these offices, and they will continue to do that. It's very simple, because the American people do not know Islam. And the only way you know Islam by reading the Quran. And that's what this young lady she's talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that has been the one thing you could never get the mainstream media to open up and talk about. They didn't want to say anything about the Quran, but that is the key to it. And so for them to say, we should never allow anyone, Laura Loomer, many people will be familiar with her. She spent time in the Middle East as a reporter, and mm-hmm. then they kind of booted her off the mainstream.
I saw Fox News with a couple of shows.
Yeah, but then they booted her off of there because she was too truthful about Islam. So I'm serious. I'm totally serious.
I agree.
So now she's wanting to run for office. She wants to have it against the law to swear in on the Quran, or, as she put it, any other document other than the Constitution or the Bible. And as I told you, Sama, I realized Muslims could swear in on the Bible, and they'll still do their same stuff. And he and I agree on that. But what I said is, if you say and make a law that you cannot swear in on the Quran, then the American people are going to have to look at the Quran to say, oh, that's unfair. No, then they're going to see the reason for that. And that would be a wonderful eye-opener.
Remember
about what Islam is.
Yeah, because remember what I said a few years ago when we were talking about, we were put in this presentation, lies in textbooks, and we talked about the Quran, as we're going to be talking today about lies about the Quran. I said, I have no problem for the Muslims of America to teach the Quran in our public schools.
Right.
But they will not. I have no problem to teach the Quran to all Americans. It doesn't matter, high school or college.
I think it'd be funny.
But the problem is, when you ask the Muslim people to open the Quran and read the Quran in a public school, they would demand to remove Islam from a public school. They
yeah.
will be the one who says, oh, no. We don't want to talk about Islam. We don't want to talk about the Quran. They will be begging us, please, we don't want to teach your children Islam. But the only problem I have with Islam is, with what they're teaching in our public school, they're not teaching Islam.
Right.
They're teaching hogwash Islam, which they would love for us to think that is what Islam is all about. And I know, Paul, you have as a teacher, how do you think about if we will tell the Muslim, okay, we're so happy, we're going to supply a Quran to every student, and we're going to pick up chapter 9, chapter 8, chapter 47, and we're going to read the Quran in our public schools. Would the Muslim allow it?
I think it would be cool to start with chapter 1. Just go straight through and read it straight through.
Thank you so much for allowing us to teach your children the Quran.
Yeah, word for word.
They will be begging us. They'll be kissing our hands, right on left hand, please. We don't want to teach Islam in our public school.
I would especially ask that we be allowed to use your translation.
I'll even better. You know what? If they will use my translation, I would do my best to supply all schools in America, which will allow us to teach the Quran, free Quran, every school in America. But it's not going to happen. Trust me.
Yeah.
You will never be able to do it.
We're doing this Dissecting the Quran series on YouTube, and that's now the name of the channel, and we're using your Quran. And we're only up to we're starting chapter 5 next, and it's just the stuff that when you go through it line by line, word for word,
the amount
of hatred that are revealed, the concept of women being dirtier than dirt and things like that is. Yeah, I think you actually wrote that under the heading. That's the honest truth of it. The passage says women are dirtier than dirt. I posted that on an Islamic group site, you know, where they're supposed to have discussions between Christians.
Yeah.
And I posted that. It says women are dirtier than dirt. You have to clean yourself after touching them. So this one guy's like, well, it's all about sex. I said, so you're saying you need to clean yourself with dirt to get the woman off you. Is that correct? He says, and he won't respond because he says, you know, he was trying to say, well, you know, but,
no,
you know,
but
it was humorous. Because
it's not about cleaning themselves up to have a sexual relationship with wives. They're talking about rubbing their hand and their face with, this is tayammum, rub your hand and your face with good dirt after touching a woman. Not sex.
Yes.
Touching.
I didn't care. I was willing to accept. He still thought he needed to clean himself with dirt to get the woman off.
Oh, my gosh.
I can go that far. I'll accept that. He said this in a public forum, and I was like, okay. So you're agreeing with me. You think women are dirtier than dirt.
You're killing me,
oh my
Paul.
Gosh.
You're killing me.
I've been making memes thanks to going through this and putting them out there. And to me, it's, you know, I'm using it to create discussions. And
yeah,
that's the goal.
But, you know.
And it will make your group thinking. It will make them think in their head while they're reading the Quran. Yes, indeed.
Well, I was just going to say, Islama, we've had personal experience about this thing where they say, no, 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 we don't want to talk about the Quran. No, 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 we're not here to do that. They, once you read verses, and this was in a church where they've been in a church teaching for weeks. And I went there and I read some verses from the Quran and they went crazy. You know, they've been teaching Islam in the church for 6 weeks. This was their routine. I guess they're still doing it. And I went there and I said, well, you know, you're talking about us all believing in the same thing. Could you please tell me what these verses are about? And I started reading the verses out of the Quran. And they go, well, we didn't come here for that. We're not here to talk about the Quran.
We're not here to talk about Islam by reading the Quran. We're here to talk about Islam by telling you what kind of lies would like to share with
yes,
you.
Yes,
let
exactly.
me share with you a few more lies. Maybe this will make you interested to join Islam.
Can I share one of these things I've done? Some of the things
yeah.
I've created as a result?
Yeah.
All right,
sure.
So let me pull it up. All right, let me just first page here. And just a second, I'll get that screen up.
That's okay.
Get to the right page. All right. The joy of pushing all the right buttons. And when you have two screens trying to get to the right screen. All right, let me hit that share button.
See, right. I'm proud of you, Paul.
You're getting crazy. You're doing a great job, man. Keep going.
All right.
Can you add it to the screen or you can't?
I did. No, you have to hit. You have to allow me to
You
share.
Have to let him do it.
It.
Awesome.
But Allah knows about abrogation.
So, you know, if you read Surah 2, it says, 106, it says, we never nullify a verse or cause it to be forgotten unless we bring one better than or similar to it. So it's talking about abrogation, right?
Yeah.
But if you read Surah 4, as you're going on, it says, 482, it says, do they not ponder the Quran? Had it been from any other god, they would have found in it much discrepancy. You know, wait a minute. What was the purpose of abrogation?
It is to have a new opinion, a new belief, or a new doctrine, or a new whatever.
So this to me is humorous.
Absolutely.
Let me get to the next one here.
One of our... Go ahead. I just saw a funny comment in the chat, and I just said, the Muslims
you wanna,
are...
You
want to
share some other slides, Brother Paul?
Yeah, I can show you other ones.
You could put it up. I just wanted to comment one of our chat comments I thought was very funny. YouTube video says the Muslims are suffering from Quranophobia. Quranophobia.
I would say that's true. The real problem is that Muslims don't read the Quran.
That's it. And then when they start hearing it.
In reality, even when Muslims memorize the Quran, they do not understand what they are memorizing. I love it.
That's
you know, the biblical one, which I like always to share about that. the Ethiopian were traveling, and he was reading from Isaiah. He was reading Isaiah 53. And the Holy Spirit guided Philip to follow him. And Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? Now, the question I always ask for the Muslims, do you understand what you have been memorized? I mean, I know they memorized the Quran. I know they know the Quran, but do you understand what you memorized? The answer is no. The answer is 100% no. Lord have mercy. I can talk about that for hours. I'm not going to get into it. But today, and when I was recording at VCY, Worldview Week in the studio, I was talking about Jonah. And I read all the verses in the Quran which were written about Jonah. And I said, after we finish all these verses, now we ask the question, do you know who is Jonah? No. Do you know to whom he was sent? No. Do you know when he was sent? No. Do you know what happened before, in the middle, and after? We know nothing. Why? Because the Quran does not tell. It is missing information. But Muslims, when they hear and read the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, they know everything. And I said, now the question we must ask, where did Ibn Kathir come up with this information? For example, where did Jonah was sent? The great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, he said he was sent to Nineveh. Where is Nineveh? It's in Iraq. Okay, no, excuse me. How in the world did Ibn Kathir know the name Nineveh? Oh, he read the Bible. So Ibn Kathir, who does not believe in the Bible, who mocks the Bible, who believes the Bible has been corrupted, is using the Bible to interpret the Quran. Excuse me. You don't interpret a book by another corrupt book. Right. You cannot interpret the Quran because you cannot understand the Quran because the information is not in the pages of the Quran. Who is Jonah? We don't know. To whom he was sent? We do not know. How long did it take him to do that? And by the way, when you read the interpretation of Ibn Kathir, unless he's copying the Bible, his interpretation is wrong. All over the story. We do that, Lord's willing, in the future, study about Jonah here in this ministry.
That's actually one of the things we refuse to do. We refuse to, when we're doing the Dissecting the Quran series, we're just using common sense.
Yeah.
And discussing what do we think it believes. And we have an Arabic speaker with us. We just sit there, we talk about what does this really say? I mean, half the time it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the hard truth of it. It's so bad.
The Quran is an ambiguous book with confused information, and it does not make any sense. The only way you can understand the Quran is to read the interpretation of Muslim scholars. And the only place where Muslim scholars come up with their interpretation is using my Bible. I'm sorry. You cannot use a corrupt book to understand a clear book. Easy to understand the Quran. It's not an easy to understand. It's not a clear book. It's a muddy book with missing information beyond your imagination. You cannot, let me say again, you cannot understand the Quran by reading the Quran. Not by studying it, not by memorizing it, by just reading it. It's not there. Now you're going to study interpretation of scholars, you have to ask the question, where did Ibn Kathir hear the name Nineveh? Well, how did he know that Jonah was sent to Nineveh? Oh, the Bible said so. Excuse me. The Bible is a corrupt book. You don't need to use a corrupt book to understand the holy word of Allah.
Yusama, yes. You're frozen, but we can still hear you.
Yeah, you are frozen. Your screen is frozen, but we can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, good. At least you can hear me, for heaven's sake. That's fine.
Hey, is Paul got another slide he was going to share, and I interrupted him so rudely.
I don't know. Do you want to share another slide, Brother Paul?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I've got another one up for you.
Here you go. Here you go.
I thought this was funny. Okay. One of the most horrible sins in all of Islam is shirk, which is the crime of polytheism. Yet Allah orders the angels to bow down to Adam.
That's right.
Okay. I think this is hilarious. Okay, so if they bow down to somebody, that is a form of worship.
Sure.
Okay. But here they have Satan refusing to follow orders. So Islam, Satan is better than Allah. Because Allah is ordering people to commit, his angels commit shirks. So,
and by the way,
that's the question I leave out there.
I wish when you do that, read my translation, because the word, yes, you do, it is to worship. It's a non-Arabic word, Hebrew word. If you read it in other English translation, you'll never see
the reason I'm picking on their translations and I'm putting the Arabic up. That's the only reason I'm doing that.
Because I'm looking at,
if they want to complain, this comes from one of their sites.
Yeah, I got you. But the funny thing is, Satan tell Allah later, because you seduced me, I will seduce all of them. What is the seduction there? That Allah literally make Satan disobedient to Allah, even though Satan did the right thing, which is not to worship Adam. Help me, Lord Jesus, help me. Anyway, all right. Any other thing, Christy, before we move on to our subject? I'm really so excited about finishing live in Texas.
Yes, I know you are anxious to do that. I just, I want to say hi to our friend Ted, who is in the chat room on our radio program. I did want to mention that we had tens of thousands of pro-life people in Washington, D.C. for the pro-life defending the unborn. It was one of the amazing things that happened this weekend. There's also going to be another rally tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm encouraged because people are coming out and standing up for what's right. But it's not just happening here in America. There are people marching against the orders for masks and other kinds of things that are being required in other countries. And there are people are tired of being denied their even the rights of foreign countries' constitutions.
Yeah.
And it's like something is stirring in the
So the UK
part.
Yesterday and today and Ireland has now removed almost all mandates.
Yes.
It's because the actual scientific studies saying the vaccinations don't work.
And
that social distancing and masks don't work. These are actual scientific studies that are coming out. So you know what they're starting to say? You know, some people are like, what do you mean? Were they actually right? These people were saying, yeah. So yes, all those claims of medical misinformation.
Yeah.
You're right.
and in France, there are people who are turning against the French government. I may have the wrong country there. But I'm just looking at dozens and dozens of reports about people standing up for what actually is common sense. You know, it isn't just that they're standing up against, you know, what's being done, the mandates and all that, but they're also trying to stand up for what's right for their children in school. Many people, and lots of them are Christians, are doing that. But the sad thing is that we're also seeing a rise of repression and even violent attacks against people who are doing this. So it's taking some courage, and I just want to say, as more and more of the persecution against Christians happen, that we need to pray for those who are courageous enough to stand up against the things that are wrong. Because I remember and know from, you know, and many of people will know from Revelation, it talks about the rise of this Antichrist, I like to say, first, an Antichrist system, but also the person often referred to as the Antichrist, although the book of Revelation calls him the beast, is the lawless one. And what are we seeing around the world? Laws being broken. And it isn't a person that's doing it. It is happening as a system of government is trying to destroy what are the laws of countries that have been standing for, you know, decades in most cases. And now
we just saw that in New York City yesterday. They arrested a family with a child, I believe, of the age of 8, for not wearing a mask in the museum. It's pretty. We've been having discussions with people on this particular topic, but I mean, the policemen are there for law enforcement.
Yeah.
Not executive order.
Enforcement. Exactly.
Enforcement.
When people commit Brother Paul a real crime, even if they get arrested, they're free within a few hours without the bill. And when the people do not wear a mask, they're going to be in jail, be arrested. And who knows? Maybe these people got arrested will be there for a few weeks.
Well, that's highly possible. I haven't heard how long they've been detained yet. So
you never know.
That was Friday. So if you arrest somebody on a Friday.
That means Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Talk about
whole
Monday.
Family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's longer time than those who commit crime and they were arrested and set free within the same day without pardon.
Yeah, you know, and as this pro-life march was taking place in Washington, D.C., I liked what they called it, and I wanted to look at it and read it so I could give it correctly. Equality begins in the womb. They're saying, yes, I loved the theme of that, and that is so important. And we know many, many minority babies are being aborted, and they deliberately target minority communities for abortion. So I loved that theme. But listen, the French government and the Swiss government were standing up against persecution against Christians. But this was the story about, France and Sweden launch investigative team to prosecute ISIS members for crimes against Christians and Yazidis in Iraq. That was from 2014. And they're launching an investigation. But then here's the French president. We're going to make abortion a European Union right. So a pro-life association in France has condemned French President Emmanuel Macron's plan to make abortion a fundamental right in the European Union. So you see how crazy the world is. They're trying to do one thing correct, but they don't have any real godly guidance. And now
They're immoral. I saw a sign today, a big billboard. I was in my way to Tennessee this morning, and it says if they allow babies to vote, abortion will end in America. I really felt it was, they have a little boy and they have this thing that if they allow babies to vote, abortion will end in America.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a life. There's a life, and praise God for every effort, for those who do the meetings all over this country, for those who stand in the street corners and on the side of the street to say abortion kill babies, because abortion kill babies. It is killing the innocent blood, shedding the innocent blood, which is a sin God hates, as we read in the scripture. Hopefully, prayerfully, sometime soon, here within the next few months or maybe next couple years, we can turn this thing around and end abortion. It would take a miracle. I think God knows what and when this will happen. All right. What else, Christy?
Well, I think we've covered some of the important things that I wanted to just touch on. But again, pray for people. There's a lot of people who are sick right now, and they're being told they have corona. But, you know, the truth is, as we said before, this may be God's way of immunizing all of us against this illness. But we don't know if it's really corona, because guess what? Colds are caused by a coronavirus. So we're not sure, nor is there any reason to be confident that when you're told you have a coronavirus, do you really have? Do they really know what person this is or what person that is?
The PCR test, when done correctly, can, which isn't always
done correctly.
When it detects COVID, it doesn't differentiate between COVID and the flu, but something in the PCR test, as a result, the way it comes out, allows the medical community to evaluate if it's Delta or Omicron. So that's
what
we're...
Do you say, okay, Brother Paul, what do you say for a gentleman who was tested twice in one day, and one of them is a positive and the other one is a negative?
That's more likely what I call a false positive. And there's a large number of those that, you know, they're not talking about the efficacy of the test, which has a... It does, again... The creator of the test said it wasn't created for this purpose. Again, it doesn't differentiate between the flu. If you don't, if you've gotten a positive test for this and you don't have a loss of sense of taste or smell, my suggestion is to check yourself later and see if you have an immunity or if you have those antibodies. That's what you need to do, because otherwise you will never know if you had it or not.
Yep, yeah. You're right. Well, today we'll be talking about lies about the Quran, and let me start by playing this commercial to promote our translation of the Quran. So we will be back in less than a couple minutes.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims, and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace, and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam.
Everybody was laughing.
We decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straightway of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some moderate Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must have brought Muslims from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslims because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America. But same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with the modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 4,
awesome.
Verse 6,
That's
the Bible
the
says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this program number four, I believe, Christy.
Yes.
All right. Good, good, good. And while I am opening my PowerPoint to share it with you guys, if you have anything to say, Christy.
I want to say thank you for providing in your book,
yes,
in that Quran, it points out all the non-Arabic words. And to me, that is incredibly valuable.
Sure.
When you're reading along and you find those things out, it does cause you to ask questions, okay? And it's actually, I think the work that you've done and others that have pointed out there's so many words that are not Arabic that they're actually questioning if it was originally, the Quran is actually written originally in Arabic, and there's a lot of questions about that now.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened, Brother Paul? I was working on the Quran, and I have the original copy, which is in Arabic. And as I was working, I see so many words, I did not know what the word actually means. So I looked at dictionary. I could not find the dictionary. So I colored it with pink, you know, highlighted with pink color. And man, oh man, by the time I was halfway through the book, I got almost 250 words. By the time I finished, it was 500 words. Well, I was able to find some of these Arabic words, meaning, by investigating the different mahajim, the different dictionaries. But I realized that some of the Muslim scholars say, that word means a lot. That word means a little. Wait a minute. How can the word in the Arabic language mean a lot, and another scholar tell me it means a little? Is it a lot or a little? Lot of water or a little water? Okay, so I was frustrated. I decided to quit. I'm not going to do this translation because I cannot translate over almost 500 words in the book. Well, I met with Father Boutros Zakaria, who at the time they were having actually 60 million Egyptian pounds for his head. If somebody kill him, he'll become 60 millionaire, okay? Equal at this time to maybe $5-6 million, whatever it was. So I said, wait a minute. So I talked to him. I said, Father Boutros, I have a problem. And he said, what? I said, I don't know if I have these. I don't know what this word is. Can you help me? He said, Usama, have you ever thought that these are maybe foreign words in the Quran? I said, what do you mean foreign? He said, Hebrew, Greek, Syriac, Aramaic, Coptic, other languages. I said, oh, my word. Are you serious? He said, yeah. So I went back online to look for this word, and behold, there were other scholars who already did the job for me by talking about the foreign words of the Quran. And as I go on the list, it is exactly all the words which I put in pink, which I don't know what they mean. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And I start translating this word, as you see in my copy, where I see you, what was actually the word said, what it meant in its original language. And then, obviously, I put it in English in the Quran. And by the way, there are 279 foreign words. Some of them mentioned hundreds of times. Some of them mentioned just a couple of times or so. So there are plenty of words, foreign words in the Quran. All right. Let's move on to our study. And I'm going to go ahead and share this with you on the PowerPoint. Okay, here we go. And we're talking about lies in the Quran. Lies in the Quran. Or lies about the Quran. Come on.
You're going backwards. Number 65.
My computer is acting funny. But I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it today. In Jesus' name. All right, here we go. And lies about the Quran. Thank you for your patience and your kindness and being nicely. All right. Lies about the Quran. Notice here, here's the first lie, which is in modern world history. Peterson, Interaction McDougall Little, 2005, which means that lie, still in our textbooks for the last 17 years. Pages 14 and 15. The textbook says what?
Mohammed's teachings, which are the revealed book called the Quran.
Can you do that one more time? Play it again.
Absolutely.
The sound was out, yeah.
You muted it out.
For you, no problem.
Thank you.
Muhammad's teachings, which are the revealed word of God, are found in the holy book called the Quran.
So, if you read that carefully and you understand what they're teaching your children and your grandchildren in our public school, you will see that Muhammad's teachings, which are the revealed words of God, capital G-O-D, are found in the holy book called the Quran. When I read the first time, I went in a circle, 3-4 times in my head. But what is that? Muhammad teaching? There's not one Muslim in the world believe that Muhammad teaching is the revealed word of God. Muhammad teaching is known to be the hadith.
Right.
Yes.
Muhammad sunnah is what Muhammad used to do. Sunnah is way of life. His teaching is the hadith. Not one Muslim, if not a Shia or Sunni, not one Muslim will ever believe that the Quran, the revealed word of Allah, is Muhammad's teaching. Why? Because they believe that the Quran is the word of Allah, not Muhammad's teaching. So the sentence is wrong. But the worse than that, how they introduce the Holy Quran, the word of God, as if it is a fact.
Yeah.
It's true. It is the revealed word of God to Muhammad. It's not some scholar of the 63 or some believe or Muslims claim. No. It's a fact. Let me remind you of what they said about the Bible. Listen to what they thought our children about the Bible.
Many scholars today doubt that the early books of the Hebrew Bible reflect the true history of the early Israelites. They argue that the early books of the Bible, written centuries after the events described, preserve only what the Israelites came to believe about themselves, and that recent archaeological evidence often contradicts the details of the biblical account.
You know how much BS in that slide here? First of all, when they say many scholars, they did not tell our children these are the liberal theologians, those who do not believe in God, those who do not believe in the Bible, those who do not believe in creation, those who do not believe in the Noah's Ark and Noah's story, those who do not believe in Abraham, those who do not believe in Moses. They don't believe in that.
Yeah.
And they introduce them to our children in our public school as they are the Christian theologians, the Christian scholars. Today, I'm sorry, it's not today, that was 200 years ago. German theologians, the liberal theologians, were roughly around 200 years ago or even more now. And they doubted that the Bible is the true word of God. They said that the archaeological evidence 200 years ago, not today, 200 years ago, they believe it contradicts the details of the biblical account. But today, in the year 2020 or 2010,
22.
Or 2005 or 2004, when the book was written, they actually believe, Christian theologians believe that every archaeological evidence proved the Bible to be the word of God.
I'm just telling you, when we first ran across this stuff and we're putting this presentation together, this just made me so angry, because it is like everything that you want to teach your children would be based on what's true. And there is like nothing in there that's true. And when you think about this and how destructive just that one little couple of sentences on this page,
yeah,
it's like the first thing you would want to do is say, I need to go to that classroom and get rid of this textbook. But nothing happened. People didn't know this.
This is why I could not use textbooks when I talked to you, because of the amount of misinformation, purposeful, I'll say, the amount of bias, the amount of prejudice. And what kills me is just what you're pointing out. They declare the Quran to be Muhammad's word, or they don't necessarily, they actually say it's God. So Muhammad, they equate Muhammad with God, which actually is shirk. But again, they do this in a, you've actually shown it step by step. They change a little word here and there. You did it well.
Yeah, you are 100% right, brother. I have no problem for the textbooks to say lots of people, not Christian scholars, doubt the Bible. But you have also to tell me lots of people doubt the Quran. I mean, in Egypt alone, we got 10, 15 million Muslims left Islam because they read the Quran and they found it to be an empty box. They found out that the Quran is an empty box. You know the little boy who saw the king? And everybody praising the king, and everybody, lift up the king. Oh, what a great dress! What a great king! Woo! Is this a dress which cost $10 million? Woo! Yeah. As a little boy said, the king is naked. And whoa! Everybody discovered the truth from the little boy. The king is naked. So the Muslims of Egypt, the Muslims of Iran, the Muslims of the Muslim world studied the Quran and learn now that the box is empty. It is not holy. The king is naked. He has no clothes. That's why they left Islam. But the textbooks did not look at the millions of Muslims who left Islam because they discovered that the Quran cannot be the word of God. The Quran teaches the earth is flat. The Quran teaches there are seven earths on the top of each other. The Quran teaches there are seven heavens. The Quran teaches that the sun sits in a muddy spring, and that's how it gets dark at night. The Quran says that, and when you read the interpretation of the Quran by Muslim scholars, when noon sneezed, Patsy! Noon, the big well, which the earth sat on its back. When it sneezed, the earth shook. That's why Allah created the stabilizers, the mountain, to keep the earth from shaking. I mean, what person with logic or common sense would believe that the entire earth we're sitting on right now, we're standing on right now, is sitting on the back of a big well as a big noon? So when Muslims discovered this nonsensical teaching of Muhammad in the Quran and the interpretation of the Quran by Muslim scholars, they left Islam. But the textbooks did not say many Muslims today left the Quran.
Yeah.
Because they discovered to be an empty box, or they found out that Islam is an empty, or Islam is a comedy. No. They're teaching us that the Quran is the revealed word, not of Allah, of God, capital G-O-D. So now
and
both
Allah
of them, the God
the
we worship
God.
Is the same God of Muhammad. The God of the Bible is the same God of the Quran. But here's a difference now. The Bible has been corrupted. Theologians and scholars know for sure without any doubt that it's not true. But the true God, the God of Allah, the God of Muhammad, the God of Islam, he revealed the truth. And the great teacher of Muhammad is the Holy Quran. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
I like I said, I just think it's humorous. There's, if you want to look at the science, I challenge you not to actually. You have a physician who is a Muslim follower of Islam. Ask them where sperm comes from, and then if they answer the answer from the Quran. Run. I'm sorry, you don't want them taking care of you medically.
There's so many errors in the Quran, the backbone of man and the woman breast. I mean, we talk about that in our presentation, the miracles of Muhammad. We have not done here in our study. I've done it so many different places, but I'll be glad to, when we finish my textbooks, we can talk about the great miracle of Muhammad, the embryology, the seven stages of creation, how men how baby is made of two fluids, the white fluid, which is sperm, comes the backbone of man, and the yolk fluid, which comes from the woman's breast or woman bone of her chest. Either way, it's dumb for dummers. The Quran is dumb for dummers.
You know, Usama, I think one of the other things that I just want to share is that you did a two-volume series on these issues that the scholars are trying to explain, these crazy things that Muhammad had, that Allah has in the Quran. And that's where, if you want to get a laugh, I mean, there are so many things. It's not just the science. It is the whole history, the crazy history of their so-called prophets, the crazy things that it says about Solomon and Alexander the Great. I mean, that is a great two-volume series called Revealing the Truth About the Quran, the Stories of the Prophets. And I laughed. I was laughing so hard helping tie that. It was so funny.
Once again, the king is naked. The box of the Quran is empty. Yeah. I wish it was empty with no pages in it. Or bridges with no words in it. But the more you read about the Quran, the more you can't help but to laugh. And when you read Muslim scholar interpretation through the verse of the Quran, you can't help but to become an atheist.
That's and that is the tragedy of it. And I wish Christians could catch a hold of this. Do you know how demoralizing and depressing it is to discover that something you believed is a joke? I mean, if you had that desire to know the Lord and then you found that out, yes, many Muslims do become atheists, but, you know, we have the obligation to share the gospel so that they understand that book isn't about.
And another thing, Christy, Another thing, why is it called the Quran holy book when it does not even have the title holy? It is called the generous Quran, Al-Quran Al-Kareem in Arabic, and I translate it accurately to English, the generous Quran. While the Quran does not have the word holy, they call it holy book, and while the Bible is the holy Bible, they don't call it holy Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up with that, Paul?
I think they're so scared that if you tell the truth, that people will run from Islam.
That's why they don't like you reading verses from the Quran, and they never push to read the Quran.
Amen. Exactly. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean,
you saw the pushes read the Quran more than Muslims do. He's the one always saying read the Quran.
It's exactly what Usama is saying. I have not seen Muslims doing what we call exegetical teaching, where you go through word for word and you use the Quran to interpret the Quran.
Right.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
No, such a thing.
That'll be that circle back thing that Jen Psaki likes to do. Let me circle back here.
You know, I would challenge Muslims in future programs that I will pick up any story of their choice from the Quran, and I would challenge them to interpret it for me. Because you cannot interpret verses to say something the verses never said. I mean, let me give you the same example again. Yunus was of those who were sent. Yunus was among those who were sent, okay? Now, the interpretation, Prophet Jonah was sent to Nineveh. How do you know? Allah did not say who where he was sent. All right, let's move on. Here we go, world culture and geography, blah, 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 page 209a. Listen to the repeated lies, which is not only in our textbooks, that is in every interface meeting, that is in every meeting of Muslim neighbors, that is in every meeting where some Muslim move his lips. If a Muslim in a meeting in America and he move his lips, that is what they say. Really? Here we go.
Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all share common traits. Judaism is a story of exile. Christians believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. The Quran is a collection of God's revelations to Muhammad.
Judaism and Christianity and Islam, the three branches, the three Abrahamic religions. I love it when I hear Muslims say Abrahamic religion. I say, excuse me, are you trying to tell me that Abraham was a Jew? Yeah. And he was a Christian. Yeah. And he was a Muslim. Yeah. Read the Quran, you idiot. He was never a Jew nor a Christian. He was a Muslim. So why do you tell me Judaism and Christianity and Islam are Abrahamic religions? If he was never a Jew and he was never a Christian, but he was a Muslim, why you call him the father of all three religions?
That's right.
And when you read the verse of the Quran, it tells you why he was not a Jew. Abraham was not a Jew because the Torah came after him. Common sense. Abraham, 400 years, Abraham lived. 400 years later, Moses came. Okay, since Moses came after Abraham, Abraham could not be a Jew. Makes sense. He was not a Christian. Why? Because Jesus came after Moses. That is common sense. Abraham, Jesus, 1800 years. 1800. Because Christianity came 1800 years after Abraham. That sounds good. But he was a Muslim. Even though Muhammad came 600 years after Christ. That is 2,400 years after Abraham. Miracle, guys. It's a miracle. Abraham could not be a Jew because Judaism came after him. He could not be a Christian because Christianity came after him. But he's a Muslim, even though Islam came after Christianity and Judaism. Make sense. Hello? Do you know math? You Muslim even know how to add numbers? It doesn't matter. But Judaism, Christianity, and Islam share common trail. What is that? Listen to the comment. The Quran, the book here is clarifying that point. You don't have to worry about what does he really mean by what he said. You see, Judaism is a story of exile. Excuse me. Judaism is a story of exile. That's it. The Jewish people left Egypt and went to the promised land. That's it.
That's it.
That's how much we know about Judaism, boys and girls. Forget about Genesis. Forget about Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, and Joshua. Forget about the rest of the 29 books of the Old Testament. Forget about all the laws. Forget about all the prophets. Forget about all the judges. Forget about all the kings. Forget about all the wars. Nothing in Judaism except the story of the exile.
Man,
you make it
it's
so
horrible.
Easy. You make it so easy. I don't have to worry about reading the Bible. Just read Exodus. You got it. That is story. You know what story means, Christy?
It could be made up. You know, it doesn't have to be true.
Once upon a time, in a far, far away land. Remember Ogre?
Yeah, Shrek.
Remember Shrek? Shrek is a story.
That's right.
Okay. Tom and Jerry is a story. Bugs Bunny is a story. SpongeBob is a story. And Judaism is a story. I love it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's crazy.
Now we learn, boys and girls, about Judaism. Let's learn about Christianity. Christians believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Jesus what? Was the promised Messiah. You mean he's no longer the promised Messiah? Was. Once upon a time, there was in the somewhere there. Okay, what? Jesus, Christian believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Anything else about Christianity you want to teach me? No, that's it. Judaism is the story of exile, and Jesus was the Messiah. Thank you, Muslim. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Judaism. Thank Christianity. What about Islam? Oh, now we talk about the Quran. Wait a minute. Why did you not talk about the entire 29 books of the Bible? 39, sorry. And the 27 of the New Testament. Why do you, if you talk about Judaism, it's just a story. And Christianity, they just believe in their head. Why didn't tell me? And Islam, they believe. Or Islam is a story. No. The Bible is Quran. We already told you that. Christians, theologians, historians. Those who dig in the ground, the archaeologists, they all know for sure the Bible is not true. So forget about the Bible. Boys and girls, let's concentrate on the Quran now. Why? Because the Quran is the collection of God, capital G, God's revelation to Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Can I see the Shahada now, Sister Christy?
Please
Brother
don't.
Brother Paul, will you lead me to say the Shahada right now?
This, I mean, it's ridiculous because that is where they're leading our kids, and they've even done that.
It's actually a violation of social studies ethics to do that. You know, I've actually spoken to several social studies teachers about this. And the problem is that some textbook workbooks actually require children to write down the Shahada.
I know. Many of them.
It's illegal. It's actually illegal.
They took children to a mosque on a field trip, and they all said the Shahada, and it was so wonderful.
They all with the good Muslim believers in the mosque. The boys between the men and the girls in the back of the mosque with the other ladies. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So now let's think about this for a minute, guys. Let's think about this. Judaism is a story, the Bible, the Christians, they believe Jesus was. But now let's concentrate on the Quran. It is the collection of God's revelation of fact. They teach it as 100% truth. Now, could you do me a favor and read for me a chapter from the Quran? No. Why? Because if we read a chapter from the Quran, you may laugh at Allah's word and discover it is nonsense. It's an empty box. The king is naked. Muslims always talk about Islam. Muslims always talk about the Quran. Muslims always talk about Muhammad without giving you details, without giving you any information. Imagine with me. I'm going to read this again. The Quran is the collection of nonsense of Allah, which Muhammad claimed to be a revelation, and Muhammad received it while he was raping a little girl by the name Aisha. Or while he was having sex with his daughter-in-law, Zainab bint Jahsh. or why he's committing adultery with Mary, the Coptic slave, in his wife's house of bed under her roof in her night. Or why, I mean, I'm going to tell you about Muhammad. I'm going to tell you about what the Quran made up of. And if I read you a few chapters from the Quran, you see, what revelation? Collection of nonsense? Collection of garbage? Collection of lies? Man's sperm come from the backbone? And the baby inside the mother womb, 120 days, a piece of flesh? No life in it? For heaven's sake, the sign I saw today in my way to Tennessee, my heart beat at 18 days. My heart beat the baby in the big bulletin board. My heart beat at 18 days. That means 18 days, baby is alive. And the heart, boom, boom, boom. If you listen carefully, there's a big bam, bam, and then the one, boom, bam, boom, bam, boom. The heart of the mama and the heart of the baby. The heartbeat at 18. Muhammad and his stupid scholars are teaching me a baby inside the mother womb, 120 days, no life. A piece of flesh is called in the Quran, madgha, what you chew on. And then, miraculously, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The angels go inside the mother womb and they have a scroll. They have a scroll.
Brother, sorry. Scroll.
And he had a pin. Okay? The angels go inside the mother womb with a scroll and pin, and he opens the scroll and asks Allah, Allah, do you want that piece of flesh to be a boy or a girl? And Allah said, a girl. Do you want it to be happy or miserable? Miserable. Miserable. Blah, blah, blah. Where's eternity in hell? Eternity in hell. And then the angel of Allah rolls the scroll, blows the pin, and nothing else can be added to the scroll, and the angels breathe life into that piece of flesh. And that, at the age of 120 days, the baby became a living creature. And before that, it was not a living creature. What person, what stupid, forget about person, what stupid can believe to be the collection of the revelation of Allah in the Quran? And they call that in America, and in the West, the miracles of Muhammad, the miracles of the Quran. How did Muhammad know about the stages of embryology 1,400 years ago? Not because they're telling what I shared with you, but because they're lying and sharing hogwash Islam, hogwash interpretation, which have nothing to do with that which is written in the Quran.
I know Adam's there. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
You missed a very crucial point, brother.
I'm sorry, Adam. Go ahead. Tell me, man. I missed it. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to add the crucial point in the hadith.
Yeah.
It says Allah put an angel in charge of the uterus of the woman. And then it says...
You have to talk like that, Adam. Has your mama ever taught you to be polite when you talk to in a place with people there? Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
It's the hadith. You missed the first two lines of the hadith, brother.
I left it on purpose.
You left it on purpose. Okay. But brother, it's a sin if you don't mention the full, you know, it's a sin. And you know, the first thing that the angel sees before he starts writing, he says, oh Allah, it's semen. When he is covered with semen. Brother, it's the hadith itself.
Adam, I will never read the hadith. I'm glad you're here to read it, but I'm not going to read it. My wife will thank me. She will put me in the garage for a week.
Brother, I'm sorry, but this is, brother, listen, I have to be fair with the Muslims so that I will not omit anything from the hadith. You just omitted the first part. Let me read as is. This is Sahih al-Bukhari.
Go ahead.
Sahih al-Bukhari 6595. This is the international numbering of Sahih Bukhari 6596. The Prophet said, the truly inspired, Allah puts an angel in charge of the uterus. And the angel says, oh Lord, it's semen. Probably when he is covered with semen. Oh Lord, a clot of blood. Oh Lord, it's a piece of flesh. Woo! And then if Allah wants to complete His creation, then the writing starts, brother. So,
amen.
I just wanted to...
I appreciate you coming in to fill in, but I'm sorry. I'll let you handle this detail.
This is Sahih al-Bukhari. I need to be fair with the Muslimin who are watching. I don't want them to say differently. By the way, the Quran is the perfect collection of God's revelation, my foot. because, like, today I was talking to, like, I had, like, four Muslimin that I spoke with today in Pakistan. One of the guy actually came up. He said, you believe in Allah as well? I believe in Allah. I don't believe in Allah. Your shahada says, La ilaha illallah. Allah is the personal God of Muhammad.
Yeah.
So, I believe in Allah. No, but you do believe in Allah, Allah of the Bible. I believe in Allah. How many times do I have to tell you that? There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, Allah gave so many rights to women. I was shocked for like 10 seconds, you know, before I started telling him how many rights a Muslim I have. Like, the lies are unbelievably shoved down the throats of these Muslimin, and they have no idea what they are saying.
Sadly.
And they repeat it,
and people sadly come to believe it.
Exactly. And yesterday, a woman was sentenced to death in Pakistan for an alleged blasphemy that she was having a discussion on WhatsApp with another Muslim. She is probably, I'm just guesstimating, an ex-Muslima, but according to the paper documents of the court, she is a Muslima. And she said, Muhammad's mother is burning in hell. That's hadith.
That's a blasphemy?
But
is that what Muhammad said in the hadith?
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. It's the way you say it, you know. The way you say this stuff, you know. That's when you intentionally or unintentionally hurt the feelings of the Muslimin. That is the law in Pakistan, brother.
That's horrible.
Man, you guys in Pakistan are very strictly crossing every T and dotting every I. Because Muhammad said he stood by the tomb of his mother and he was crying. And they said, why are you crying? He said, I begged Allah to forgive my mother, but he chose not to forgive her. And she's going to burn in hell forever. Should we say Muhammad blaspheme Muhammad?
Yes. And then the father of Muhammad is also burning in hell because Muhammad said to the guy who said, where is my father? He said, in hell. And the guy was moving out and the Muhammad said, your father and my father are in hell.
Both. They're having a good time. Waiting for us. Yeah.
So this lady, her name is Atiq, or Atika, she has been officially put to 20-year imprisonment and then mandatory hang till death for apparently having a WhatsApp conversation with another Muslim where she stated certain things about the mother of Muhammad. And I don't know the details because they have not released the details, but one of the very widely stated hadith that I was mentioning today in my Urdu channel as well, that when Muhammad was born, a light came out of Muhammad's VJJ while Muhammad was coming out of his mother, and it lightened the Noor to the Basra and Syria.
Man, that's not just a lightning. That had to be huge light come out of her private part to lighten two cities. I mean, give me a break.
So I don't know how much detail. Yeah, I don't know how much detail she spoke over there about Muhammad's mother. Yes. But apparently, when I stated that in my Urdu channel today, while I was showing the Noor of Muhammad, because Quran says that Muhammad is Sirajun Munira. He is a lamp, right? He's a Sirajun Munira. He's a very shining lamp. And I was co-referencing it to the Noor of Muhammadi, where Muhammad was born, there was so much light that the lady what do you call the nurse who gets the baby out? What do you call it in the normal language?
Midwife.
The midwife was not able to see the private part of the lady Amina because there was such a huge light which illuminated Busra and Syria coming out with Muhammad. And Allah wanted to protect the visibility of the private part of the lady Amina. So,
amen. The lady was just burning in hell.
Exactly. Exactly. And these are the kind of things where you say it, you have done blasphemy, brother, and you will be put to jail for 20 years and
yeah.
mandatory death.
That's all.
And this lady.
Oh, my gosh.
To believe in that garbage who make up these laws and these rules. That helps. I don't know what to tell you. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. Let's go upstairs and get some water. But I'll take a break. When we come back, Lord's willing, we'll continue with our study, Lies About the Quran, ladies and gentlemen. The Quran. As your children and my children, your grandchildren in this country are learning that garbage as it is true, and we're paying for it. We're actually paying to brainwash our children to disbelieve in the Bible, as we talked about last week, and to believe in the Quran, as we're talking about here tonight. Quick break, and we'll be right back. Lord is willing.
Are you hearing this stuff on the show?
A world in turmoil. Turmoil.
And it is what this
daily newscast with scenes of violence and unrest.
So your idea about kids and homeschooling
on the Middle East,
yeah.
as the scripture foretold, clashes between Muslim states
and
the
I don't know
Israel
why, but I've bought
the
all
events
these
of 9/11
books,
have left
I'm
many
going,
questions
oh
in their way. For the first time, many in the West
you
are being
be
confronted with the driving force behind these
the
conflicts: the religion of Islam. What do Muslims believe? Does the Quran really teach violence and killing in the name of God? Is the Allah of Islam the same as the God of the Bible? Do Muslims accept the Bible as God's word? Is Islam really the fastest growing religion in the world? Is there a difference?
Too bad. I don't know if I got time to take your temperature. Wait a minute. What's going on? I don't know.
Yeah, he's having problems with the sound.
It's just going slow.
No, yeah, but the sound's off, and it's supposed to be. He'll cut it off in a second. So, how could you...
Usama and his wife Vicky were burdened with the desire to not only reach out with the gospel to Muslims, but also to prepare Christians to share the gospel with their Muslim friends. He hopes to prepare believers to be bold witnesses for the Lord in the face of this growing threat.
Muslim people repeat the ends of prayer many times during the day, the statement, Shua, or labor to the straight way, which really comes from the book of the Quran, chapter 1, verse 6. If we just knew the answer when Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's where really the name in the straight way of grace ministry come from. The request of Muslim people, the answer of Jesus Christ.
Having been born and raised in the southern part of Egypt, Usama experienced firsthand the darkness and the persecution that Islam brings to a nation.
Growing up in a Muslim country is very difficult for Christians. For example, as a student go to school, he learn about Islam all day long. It doesn't matter what the class is about, geography, history, chemistry. And not just the teachers are trying to influence us as students by Islam, they also make fun of our Christian faith. Then when you finish school,
well,
you try to find a job. It is really tough. Important jobs are not given to Christians. I remember my sister, she lost her job as a musical teacher. She was kicked out of school because she was a Christian. And my brother in college, he was kidnapped for 3 days by the jihadists. And I remember when he came home, middle of the night, and he was crying. And he came home in his pajamas. And we found out then that he was kidnapped for 3 days. He saw and he heard the bullets going through his friend in the same room, 70, 80 bullets. And then the jihadists threw the body from the third floor. And I look at Europe and I look at the United States. This could happen here too. The way Islam is growing, someday, if you continue growing the way they're growing, the United States will not be different than those who are in the Middle East.
Spread the gospel through live drama. This experience brought with it two additional benefits. He gained proficiency in the English language, and he met his wife, Vicky. They moved to the United States, where Usama received his bachelor's degree in Christian education and a master's degree in missiology from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Throughout all of this time, Usama and Vicky felt led of the Lord to start an evangelical ministry to Muslims in America, as well as to teach Christians about the history, teachings, and the errors of Islam, equipping the body of Christ to reach out to those trapped in the deception of Islam.
As the Straightway of Grace ministry traveled through the United States, we discovered the fact that most Christians do not understand the history and the truth about Islam, simply because all what they see is what they watch on TV, and the media does not present the truth. As a matter of fact, every time I watch TV and I see different programs presented by Muslims, they teach the opposite of what Islam is all about. And that's why I see Christians have difficult time to reach the Muslim with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the goals of the Straightway of Grace ministry is to equip believers and teach them how to present the gospel of Jesus to the Muslim.
The number of different seminar topics offered by the Straightway of Grace ministry continues to grow. The first presentation in the series lays the foundation for those who may be unfamiliar with Islam. Revealing the Truth About Islam provides believers with an understanding of how Islam began, gives an overview of the life of Muhammad, compares the Quran and the Bible side by side, explains the major pillars of Islam and the concept of jihad, of Muhammad, which are contained in a book known as the Quran. They are taught that the messages in it are the direct, perfect revelation of Allah through the angel Gabriel to his prophet Muhammad. We take an in-depth look into the many historical, scientific, and theological errors and contradictions in our seminar. Is the Quran infallible? Finding common ground and witnessing to Muslims can be difficult because Islam teaches that the Bible has been changed by both Jews and Christians over the centuries. We take this challenge head-on in our presentation. Has the Bible been corrupted? Many Christians are surprised to learn that the Quran has many passages that teach with great detail about the birth and life of Jesus. Our presentation, What the Quran Teaches About Jesus, reveals how Muhammad taught that Jesus was merely just another prophet, not the Son of God. Other popular topics are offered by the Straightway of Grace Ministries. Women in Islam shatters the current media campaign, which portrays Islam as a tolerant, peaceful religion, which elevates and liberates the modern woman. And Jesus Christ. Our seminar entitled, Muhammad or Christ? The final prophet, Muhammad must be the greatest of all. But a side-by-side comparison of the lives and teachings of these two men leaves little room for doubt that Jesus Christ is the greatest and most influential life to have ever walked our planet. Other seminars examine the Quran's portrayal of key figures in Bible history, such as Joseph or Jonah, revealing how Muhammad copied from the Bible but yet changed many key important facts and how he confused many unrelated events and people altogether. Many of our presentations have been specially put together to meet the specific requests and needs of groups, schools, and churches.
Most Christians in America do not know that there are 1.5 billion Muslim people in the world today, and the number is growing every day. That's 1 out of every 4 are Muslim. And my heart's desire is to reach out to those Muslim people. And that's why I believe this ministry is very important, to equip Christians to reach out to the Muslim. I see Muslims are here around us, and we just need to look out and see the harvest to be taken. Christ commanded us to go to the end of the world and make disciples. We were commanded by Christ to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to Egypt, to go to the end of the world, and Christ make it even easier. He brought the Muslim here to be our neighbor. We must obey God. We must love the Muslim people, and we must present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And I could not see any better time such as this. We are here. Some of them are deceived by Islam, and some of them deceiving Americans by the lies they present. What about us? Can we carry the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to them as they live among us? Let us do it together.
Amen and amen and amen. And I did not know that commercial is a long one. I have not seen that for a long time.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me it's a long one?
I didn't know what you were playing, but somebody asked where your eyebrow was.
Hey, I had my left eyebrow gone. My half of my lip massage was gone. And literally everything in my left side was going bad. And I found out from the doctors at New Orleans that they told me this is stress. I was thinking in my last semester took 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's double semester. But, hey, I finished it. I got 6 A's, 2 B's. That's not bad, is it?
That's not bad.
Hey.
Yeah, you did okay, I guess.
We're glad to have Adam with us. Adam, where are you? Adam,
that is awesome, Christy. Don't be a meanie over here when appreciating, okay? That's
right.
An awesome grade.
That is awesome, really.
That's like a 3.7875 kind of a CGPA.
You know what, Adam? Tell us something. She needs some help, man. I don't think so many students took 24 class hours in one semester.
I never did that.
I
can never do that.
Well, what happened is I told my, let me tell you the story. I'll do it quickly because I need to go back to our study here. So I had to meet with my advisor, and he said, no, you take 12 hours or maybe 15 hours and leave the rest for next semester. I said, there is no next semester. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to Indonesia. I'm going goodbye. If I finish, I finish. If I don't finish, to be continued. He said, no, we cannot. We will not approve it. He said, you meet with me next week, and we will make a decision. I said, okay, thank you, goodbye. Never met with him until I walked with my diploma. He forgot about me. He couldn't remember me. Anyway, but I graduated, and I got my A's, but I ended up losing my left eyebrow, and it was stress. And you know what? Then what I did after that, Christy, if you remember, I shaved my both eyebrow, I shaved my hair, my head.
He said, I'm giving up.
one time I was super busy for 2-3 weeks. I didn't have time. And then I said, honey, Vicky, she said, what? I said, my hair is coming back. Wait a minute. Yeah, my mustache. My hair is coming back. So that's why I let my eyebrows come back and my mustache on the BBC. Here I am. All right. Love you guys. You guys can talk about stuff like that for hours and hours. I don't have time to talk with you, stuff like that. Let's get on with our study of what the textbook teach us about this hogwash Quran. Okay, so we're going to share. Here it is. Share screen. Hey, you know what, guys? I think I'm getting better in this thing. I think I can do it. I can do it, Adam. I can do it. All right.
Doing awesome.
Mashallah, brother.
Mashallah. I'm getting better every day. So let's talk about, we already covered that. Yep. Nonsensical of Muhammad and Allah in the Quran. Let's move on to the next slide. World History, 2007, and on page 270. Listen to the statement. It says what?
Quran forced conversion.
Because when you say the statement, because Adam Christie Paul, that's the teaching truth. Because I was hungry, I ate 2 sandwiches. Because I was thirsty, I drank 2 liters of Coca-Cola. Because I was tired, I slept for 2 hours or 5 hours. It's a fact. It's a fact. Because
I don't know where that fact comes from.
And it's like, it's blowing my mind, Adam. Do you think Islam spread by love and peace or forced conversion, Adam? Tell me about it.
But seriously speaking, even the scholars agree to the fact that Islam spread by sword. Because if Islam was spread by peace, then the first 9 years before Hijrah should have the maximum amount of Muslimin, because Islam was all peaceful at that time.
Allahu Akbar. Indeed, if Islam is because the Quran forbids forced conversion. We find out that in the first 10 years of Muhammad living in Mecca, he had the largest number of people who converted to Islam, as Adam said. But guess what? After 10 years from the day he invented himself as a prophet, from the day when he claimed to be a prophet, until he immigrated, he did not have 100 people. So like 48 or 50 or whatever number. Let's say 100. Okay, we'll round the number. 100. That means literally he won a person every month. For every 2 months, compare this to Peter, who preached one sermon, probably around 45 minutes or an hour, okay? And 3,000 people got saved. Not 300, 3,000 people. The following day, 2,000 more got saved. 5,000 people in two sermons. 5,000 people in two sermons.
So, and Muhammad spent 9 years in Mecca before the Hijrah, and he was not even able to convert more, less, not even able to convert 100 people. And
I,
the I maximum...
Because I'm a generous, okay? There were 40-something. And by the way, in Muhammad days, when you buy a slave, whatever you worship, that's exactly what your slave will worship. So if you worship a cow, the slave will carry the grass for the cow, and he will worship your cow. So how many of these people who believed in Muhammad were poor, were slaves, were, and he bought with his wife money? Abu Bakr Siddiq, plenty of them. So what is the conversion?
You said 47. I am a generous one. I take the most madood hadith of 90 people. This is the most madood hadith without any proper chain of narration. But even if we take 90, it's not even 100, brother. And when we say that Muhammad did the conquest of Mecca, so the first year after the Hijrah, the verse of sword did not come. After the first year of Hijrah, now you have the verses of the swords.
Yes.
The defensive verses and the attacking verses started to reveal. So now you have the jihad, the sword of Muhammad in his hand. When Muhammad conquered the Fatah of Mecca, you know what the Quran said?
Yeah.
The Quran said, "Is that yeah? And Nasrullah he will fatu. What are it the nas? They are the khulun of the Allahi afwaja. But sabbih bihamdi Rabbika fastaghfir. Innahu kana tawwaba."
Yes.
So, with the nusra of Allah, now the people are coming in with gathering and the gathering of people. And now, are they coming in because of the message that Muhammad brought or the sword of Muhammad?
The sword, exactly. You guys are right, Alex. But here's my problem. If you want to teach the garbage in our public schools, please give me the verse. Give me the verse. Quran, chapter something, and verse something. You know what's amazing? Everything they taught about Islam, everything they taught about the Quran, everything they taught about Muhammad and women in Islam and slavery in Islam, and everything, the rest of the lies, which we're going to be covering in our study, they never quoted a verse. Somehow, they forgot to mention the verse. So you know what? I did them a favor. So I added Quran chapter 2 and verse 256. That was not.
Come on. You're so mean, brother.
Hey, Adam. Hey, I'm a nice guy. When I like to help the Muslims, I'm going to help the Muslims. Here's what Allah said.
Indeed, the right way is made distinct from the error.
Now we have a problem. What is the problem? I want to read the interpretation of that verse by any of Muslim scholars' interpreters. I can go to Ibn Kathir, I can go to Al-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Jalalain, Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Ali, Ibn Hussein, Ibn Abbas, anyone. And guess what they said? They said, This verse is abrogated. Why is that? Because Muhammad compelled the Arabs to accept Islam, and he refused for them any other religion except Islam. And then they quote you the other verses of the Quran. Quran 9:5, the verse of the sword. Quran 80, chapter 3, verse 85. And there is no any other religion except by Allah except Islam. And then you go to the hadith. Muhammad said, I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war with people until they say, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In similar words, Muhammad and the rest of the verses of the Quran assured every Muslim believer and assured the stupid people who are in charge of our education in America to learn that Islam is the religion which is compelled on people against their will and spread by the edge of the sword. Wake up, you stupid educator of America. Wake up. How long will you bow down to the Muslims until they rape your wife and your daughter? You stupid?
They are ignorant, brother, not stupid.
I think the biggest issue, again, is that the social studies teachers are the generalists. They're taught to trust their textbook. And that's in the United States. That's the real issue, is when the textbook companies are producing crap, the social studies teachers are told to trust them, and, yeah, that's where it becomes problematic.
Paul, I would put it like this. You know, the teachers don't know anything about this, and their own education did not cover these issues. So they don't have any choice but to trust these books. And somebody, that was the Muslims, were smart enough to get onto the textbook editing teams and also on the school committees to determine what books would be used. They outsmarted the Christians, and the Christians still don't even know it.
People need to go to CIE.org, and you will see the Interreligious and Civic Values site. That is the site that now approves all textbooks for social studies in North America.
I think the church needs to get involved.
Yes.
The Christians need to wake up. Otherwise, that garbage will continue to be there. That BS will continue to be not only in our textbooks, but in the future of this country that our children will accept that trash to be the reality about the beauty of the Quran and the beauty of Islam.
And Usama, I want to bring that up again. We had a committee of people meeting that was broadcast on C-SPAN. This is way back in the 80s, 89, when C-SPAN was, you know, like people watched it, and we had CNN, and you did get some actual news back then.
Yeah.
And they were talking about doing this. It was a plan. And they were saying to the Muslim people, you've got to get involved, to the women. You've got to volunteer at the school. You've got to volunteer at the library. You have to decide what book.
We're going to play the video.
I know. Well, I didn't know you were going to play it. But, yes, it's a problem.
Now. I have, but not now.
Okay. Well.
Remind me next time of this so we can show our audience this is not come out of thin air. This is their plan. This is their blueprint. That's their agenda. For the last 50 years, as American people are sleeping in a coma.
And that's the point. You know, Usama, if the Christians had stood up and done as much when they pulled prayer out of school, if the Christians had organized and been as concerned when they were told their kids could not read the Bible at school, that would have changed things, because that's when the Muslims started going, hey, we got a wide open.
I agree with you. A quick response here, guy. Response, well, that's what we should put in our textbooks to expose the garbage lies from the bottom of hell. Quran 2:16. Here's how Islam spread.
War is decreed to you and it is hated by you. And perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you. And perhaps you love something and it is evil for you. And Allah knows. And you?
We got in the Quran 79 verses where Allah talk about war as we're reading that one here. Take my word, download my Quran, look for the word war. 59 verses. Now you say, what does it have to do with spreading Islam? I'm going to tell you why I put that verse. Because guess what? Here's what Abu Ghraib said about why Muslims engage in war. The reason is not defensive war. It is offensive war. And the reason is to spread Islam, which goes against the garbage lies which we have in our textbooks for our children in our public school. Here is what Bukhari said.
Our prophet, the messenger of our Lord, ordered us to engage in war with you till you worship Allah alone or pay us the jizya tribute tax in submission. Our prophet has informed us that our Lord says, whoever amongst us is killed as a martyr shall go to paradise to lead such a luxurious life as he has never seen. And whoever survives shall become your master.
So why do we engage in war?
They have a luxurious life in Jannah with many virgins, and every day they will have everlasting sex with them.
That is for those who will die. But the Muslim himself in the first half, engage in war and tell people worship Allah alone. Think about it. Because the Quran, here's the statement. Let me go back to it. Because of what? He'll go, because the Quran forbids forced conversion. BS. The Quran forces Islam on people by the verses of the Quran, which teach to engage in war. Why do I engage in the war? It's very simple. Until people worship Allah alone. Let's go on. Let's move on. Here's what Muhammad said in Sahih Muslim, which I mentioned to you earlier.
I have been commanded to engage in war against people till they testify to the fact that there is no God but Allah and believe in me, that I am the messenger and in all that I have brought.
Well, I saw, Adam, that Islam spread by proven evidence. There was no forced conversion. What is the garbage of Muhammad here?
No, no, mashallah, you cannot say it's garbage, brother. That's a Sahih Hadith.
Yeah.
And that's fully corresponds to Quran number 9, verse number 29. Fight in the cause of Allah and make them saghirun.
Saghirun, yep.
Unless they pay jizya, humbly.
And they're subdued.
Yep.
Exactly.
Doesn't it sound like forced conversion to you?
No, it's love and peace, man. You don't understand. You're just a racist. You know what?
You are so Islamophobic, brother.
Yeah. You're Islamophobic, man. I can see you. You're Islamophobic, or you're a racist. People like you, Paul, should go to jail in prison.
Oh, my gosh. And this is the humor, because they do not... again, when I look at textbooks, the first words I look, first word I look for in textbooks is Dibby, and that's what this is all about. And they don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Here, what we should teach our children in our public schools.
The author writes about the teachings of the Bible that they were unimpeachable facts while speaking dismissively of the Bible. There is far more proof in history for the veracity of the Bible versus the Quran. Yet the author holds up the Quran as absolute truth while saying that the Bible is merely Jewish hearsay.
Now, I'm giving you what we teach our children through the first two lies, which lies about the Bible, a lot about the Quran. I put them together to give you the quick answer what we should teach our children.
Should properly say, according to Muhammad, who dictated the Quran, that book is the revealed word of Allah.
No. According is only used in Christianity. It's only used in the Bible. It's only used when you talk about Moses and Jesus. But when you talk about Muhammad, don't you dare. I challenge you, anyone who is watching me right now, show me one time that the textbook used the word according when it comes to Islam, Muhammad, Allah, the Quran, blah, blah, blah. But they always use according with the Bible and about Christianity and Judaism.
Judaism is not a story of exile. It is the account of the Jewish belief in a single benevolent, omniscient, and omnipotent God, the first in history. It is also the account of God's gift to the Jews of the Ten Commandments that are the basis of modern law. Islam has nothing in common with Christianity or its roots in Judaism.
Can you imagine if we remove the garbage about Jews and Christians and Muslims have commonality? When we put that truth here, that there is nothing in Islam is in common with Christianity or Judaism?
Jewish scriptures prophesied the coming Messiah would be the savior of the world. When Muslims conquered Christian lands, Christians and Jews were proclaimed inferior people and forced to pay tribute.
That's exactly what Adam was talking about, Quran 9:29. They pay the jizya out of hand and they are subdued, humiliated, disgraced, as we will see in our study when we cover the Path of Omar.
Massacre of men and the right of taking women and children as
spoils of war. And when they took the women and the children, they raped them. And after they raped them, somehow miraculously, when a man raped a woman 5-10 times, she'd get pregnant, and somehow the babies were born Muslims. But Islam was not spread by force. Because Islam is love, Islam is peace.
Christians and Jews in
is the religion of tolerance. Trust me. Take my word for it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you.
Bush claims that Israel is legitimate and over 3,000 years old, or 2,400 years before Muhammad dictated.
We'll talk about Jesus next week. I want to hear Adam, and I want to hear Christy, and I want to hear Paul share with you guys your heart.
Yeah, just to add to your last slide, if you could move back. When you said, trust me, nobody has to trust you because they think you are a Christian. How dare they can trust you, right?
Yeah.
But they need to see what's written in the Bible, what's written in the Word.
Yeah.
If Jesus said, go and fight, what about the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ? Did they went out and fight? No.
Well, I shared, Adam, in one sermon, 3,000 people got saved.
Exactly, but I'm talking about just the historical events.
Sure.
Because when we look at Muhammad, he fought. There are 49 battles that he either fought by himself or he was the commander and he moved his forces to go and fight for him, right? And he did the commandment of those fights. 49! You know, out of which how many are defensive?
About none.
Thank you so very much. In true reality, none of them were defensive because even when you talk about Badr, it was a revenge of four of the attacks of Muhammad on the caravans.
Sure.
When we talk about Uhud, they were of three of the attacks of the caravan. When we talk about the Khandaq, they were done, I think, six or seven of the attacks as a revenge.
It was defensive war for the Jew. It was defensive war for Quraysh, but not for Muhammad.
Exactly. Exactly. So in reality, the three battles that people show out of those 49 that they are defensive, actually, in reality, they are not defensive because Muhammad provoked them and they came and attacked him. If Muhammad would not have provoked them, they would never have gone over there to fight with Muhammad.
Sure.
So those three battles that they show as defensive, in reality, they are not even defensive as well. But let's take the example of Muslimin. Okay, those three are defensive. After that, every other battle, the 49 battles, let's talk about the one Muhammad sent and went for 1,000 kilometers out over there and attacked them.
Yeah.
What's the name? Northeast, man. Northwest. Where did he go?
The war against the Romans?
Yes, Romans. What's the name of that city? I forgot in the Hadith.
I can't remember my name. Remember.
Yeah. The blonde girls, basically. He said, let's go and let's get the blonde girls, the blondies, for sex.
If Muhammad was starting the... He said, if you become a Muslim, you'll be in peace. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. What is it?
There's such a nice religion, brother.
Love
such a nice religion.
Love
By the way, sorry, Christy, for that. He wanted blonde girls, so my bad for that. But that's Muhammad Aziz as well. He said to his people, let's go and find them and let's bring blonde girls.
He did sell two black slaves to get one white slave. That just shows you where his heart's at.
Hadith actually says, there's a Hassan transmission of the Hadith, very sound transmission. It says, when Allah created Adam, he shook his right shoulder and there emerged white men like ants. And then he shook his left shoulder and there emerged black men as ants. And he said to the people of the right, go to heaven and I don't care. And he said to the people of the left, go to hell and I don't care.
Allah was racist. Allah is racist. He likes white.
Yeah.
He does not like black. What is
Allah said? Allah said, the people who will go to the heaven afterlife, Allah will make their faces black, whom he wants to put in hell.
Wait a minute.
And anyone Allah will put to heaven, Allah will make his face a nuri.
Bright.
What does that tell you?
Allah is a racist. We need to sue Allah.
No, you can't sue Allah. To sue somebody, that somebody has to exist.
You mean Allah does not exist.
MashaAllah. You got the point.
Hey, you're the best, Adam. You're the best.
I am the best. That's why people want to kill me.
Hey, man, when the right time comes, it will happen.
Amen.
How about you, Paul? I haven't heard your voice, Paul. What are you thinking?
I sit here, I get so angry when I look at textbooks. And, you know, being the retired social studies teacher, it just disgusts me. No matter how many times I look at a textbook that's corrupt, it just makes me angry. Because having gone through all that training I went through, and they're saying, trust your textbooks. And here's the evidence. When you actually do the research like I did to find out who's involved in creating it, and you find out the Council on Islamic Education is really who's determining what you're allowed to read about this type of stuff.
Here's a question for you, Paul. Why can't we, as an American, force the public school to put at least chapter 8 and chapter 9, a couple of chapters in every textbook for our children to read the Quran? Can we do that? What the Muslim are going to say? No, remove the Quran from the textbooks? I want to challenge them by going the opposite way, which they think I am going to. Every Muslim in America thinks that we are against teaching our children about Islam, and we are racist, and we are Islamophobic, and we are hate mongers. No, we love the Quran so much that we are willing, from now on, every year, we're going to put a couple of chapters from the Quran. That's all.
I want to teach the people about the six pillars of Islam. The six rights of Allah. Let's do that. I mean, then we talk about that sixth pillar, that sixth right, which is jihad. I think ignoring those facts is disruptive and dangerous.
I'm talking about I got your point. I'm talking about as simple as we will force our education people who are in charge of textbooks to put entire chapters of the Quran in our textbooks. This year, we're going to learn Quran chapter 8. Next year, we're going to learn Quran chapter 9. The following year, we're going to go to Quran chapter 57. This year, we're going to talk about science in the Quran. I'm not going to do anything except put the verses which Allah mentioned in the Quran, anything about science, and let our children who are learning about science to learn about Allah's science. And let's destroy Islam for the Muslims and for the Americans.
You know, Usama, you know that isn't going to happen.
Why not?
But I'm telling you, but I am telling you.
I am for Allah, I will not even vote my translation, Christy. No, I'll vote Yusuf Ali's translation. I'll vote the translation of the choice.
You don't have enough power of the people who will demand this because there are not enough people that understand that. And you got to have people wanting that to happen. So here's what I'm going to suggest, and I just thought about this because when I was a kid in school, I must have been a really weird student because the teacher, thank you so much. That's okay. I know how you think. But anyway, when I was a kid in school and the teacher would teach something, my mom and a teacher actually had this conversation because the teacher complained to them that every time they said something in school, I would say, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to go home and ask my mom. I thought my mother was the smartest person on earth. And you know what? We had five sets of encyclopedias at our house, plus other educational books. So I think the parents have to get more involved because you know what? If you can get the confidence of your child, then when you tell them the truth, they are going to listen. But what we've done in America is told our kids the teachers know everything and your parents don't know a thing. Parents have got to change that.
You got a very good point. When I went from Florida to Chicago, Sam Shamoun was there in the school board meeting, and I present a copy of the Quran to every one of the school board members. They did not allow me to talk. Remember?
Yes.
They wasted half hour to talk about how many minutes they allow me to speak. And then I got 2 minutes. I said, your 2 minutes is not going to help you. Not going to help you. Here's a copy of the Quran. Read that stupid book before you continue to educate your children the lies you teach about Islam. The answer is in that book. Read
the
Quran and educate yourself so you know for sure you're destroying your children by the lies you put in a textbook. It's very simple.
And if you have a chance to vote for Laura Loomer,
who is telling people you need to know what's in the Quran, take and be politically active for those who are now speaking out with that message. Learn the Quran. Know what's in it. Parents have got to do this.
Yeah. Light of the life for all nations. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. You keep in your prayer, and God is good, and he can use a donkey. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, you broke up in the middle, and Light of Nations is a very good brother of ours.
Amen.
He does very good videos. I think this is his fourth or fifth channel. YouTube, mashallah, is deleting his channels left, right, and center. But he creates another one, and he comes up again, and he shows the true face of Islam.
God,
he is an Arabic speaker.
Amen.
So because of that, he can put in Arabic videos and does Arabic translations of certain videos, and he
Amen.
Puts them in. So
Amen.
God bless you, brother. Keep on doing
yes.
what you're doing.
God
and prayers
you.
Are with you. I know it's a lot of hardship to get the subscribers and then YouTube deleting your channel, but do not be disheartened.
Just keep on doing it.
The
Amen.
Lord knows what you are doing. God bless
Amen.
You, brother.
That is good. I appreciate it.
He says he knows you from Egypt and your family.
Takbir! Allahu Akbar! Takbir!
Al-Masih Akbar! Brother, you need to remember the new one.
Okay. Al-Masih Akbar! Al-Masih A'azam! Most Akbar! A'azam!
Akbar Lazim!
Hey, brother, give me a call sometime. If you know me from Egypt, I'd love to talk with you. Give me a call. My number is online, 941-223-3698. Feel free to give me a call. Love you. Anyway, anything else? So you guys, we still have five more minutes. I can't compete with this wonderful team.
I think Christy's right that parents have to get more involved. I think there's another problem still that I want to be part of the solution, and I'm actually trying to gather some people together. I know Eric from our Blog Talk Radio team is interested where we can actually rewrite these problematic things as what you're doing, as you're doing this presentation. I think that's the actual solution. So we can sit down and, you know, put the actual facts there,
yes.
rewrite those sections and, you know, propose them to them. And you know, what we have to do is put it together in such a way that they have to understand that you either put this in, and then you're going to pay us to do it.
Yeah.
Because we're fixing your work.
It is very simple, brother.
I'll do it for free if they allow us.
No,
I'll take the cost on my own hand. Just let us do it. Do it for free.
No, no.
But
yeah.
As long as you allow it.
I know for sure, don't know. But here's the deal. If you're going to teach anything about Islam, prove it, supported by the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad. Otherwise,
well,
I'm sorry, you can keep your
mind.
We're going
to
put the truth in the
thing.
I'm sorry?
You know,
I'd like to put more in.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And one thing is, we don't have a parent-teacher association anymore, and that is another big problem. The Department of Education on a federal level in the United States is a ridiculous, horrible idea, but parent-teacher associations, as they used to be called, the PTA, they had to discuss. The teachers and parents talk together. And, you know, not every teacher is wanting to be wrong, but you know what? If you parents aren't paying attention and you say, look, we're going to the school and we're going to provide information for all the parents, even if it's just a small area.
You know what, Chris? I'm curious. If we can go to the school board meeting with 100 stack of five, six pages, and in it we see, here's what the lies are teaching, here's what the Quran teach, we need to stop the garbage from brainwashing our children. Just find out what textbook they're using, find the lies in their textbooks, write 3-4 pages, make them in a copy, front and back, go to the board meeting, and give it to all the parents. And I guarantee you, if you do that, one school, another school, another third board school, you're going to wake up this country.
And they're going to start sharing that information, too. I believe that. Parents don't want to see the schools destroying their children's faith.
That's the problem right now in America. You don't get to see the textbooks.
That's right.
If you have a kid, you will see that you do not have those textbooks. Those textbooks remain in school. And kids only bring up this notes kind of a stuff.
Actually, I think that's actually illegal, what you're talking about. They can't necessarily do what you're saying.
Well, that's what
parents
they do.
Parents can ask for it.
Yeah, Paul, that's a separate thing. But what I'm saying is 99.999999 and put another 9 and put unlimited 9s, kids do not bring the textbooks at home. None of them.
Okay, the education law requires that the kids be able to take their textbooks home.
But they don't want to.
That's a separate thing. They don't bring
children,
it.
They don't want to.
So this is on the children.
Right
now, because of the movement in America, even in liberal states, parents are getting involved. We should not lose that great opportunity to wake up the parents and say, by the way, it's not just about hating in America. It's not just about sex. It's not just about they want to change your boys to your daughters, to your daughter become bisexual or the boys become girls. It's about Islam, too. It is front war against our children in many levels, and we need to expose the light about Islam and the rest of the light, which we have not covered yet. Wait until you hear about Jesus in our next class of Bibliogram. So I have enough break. If you are watching next one here, don't forget, whatever you do, next Saturday, light about Jesus, it will blow your mind. The amount of light about Jesus, and then we're going to talk about the light about Muhammad. And I have to tell you, we don't have enough time to talk. I wish I could talk to you for another hour or two.
One point you need to know. You can go to your local school, and they have to tell you what textbooks they're using. They don't have to give them to you, but they have to tell you what they are, and you can look them up.
Sure. And we're going to tell you how you can do it in less than half hour. You don't have to read a 500-page book or a 1,000-page book. We're going to tell you how you're going to do that. Just be patient. Join us again
next week.
We continue our study. We're going to do some lies in the textbooks. And I'm glad to have Adam with us today. You brought flowers to us, and you make it so fun. God bless you all. I have to close with this very important 3 minutes of every program. Please listen carefully to this invitation. If you have never prayed and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, why not now? Here it is. We'll see you next Saturday. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Adam. God bless you all. We'll see you next Saturday.
The fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity. And no, 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death. God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure that Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.